Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Welcome back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. Our next segment is being powered by our friends at Napoli's Pasta and Pizza at 525 South Broadway Street right here in Joshua, Texas. You can give them a call at 817-645-5555 and they will take great care of you. And indeed, it is a very big weekend right here in Fort Worth as the Sooners are in town to face TCU. Both of these teams coming off impressive wins against Oklahoma State and TCU. How about that big upset against Texas? The Frogs really do continue to surprise and had a very solid win this year so far against Baylor and West Virginia and Texas. This is going to be an exciting game. It's certainly one that I have had circled on the calendar for a long time. And I know for all the Sooner fans that tune into our show, they have a very long memory. They're not going to forget that 2005 loss to TCU in Norman. So providing the preview and the prediction on the Sooners and the Horned Frogs, of course, is James Hale out of Norman, Oklahoma, KREF 1400 AM. And he is also the senior writer with OUinsider.com. And James, I have to tell you that we have rolled out the red carpet for you because we have got to have you on this weekend's show. How are you, James?
I'm doing great, E, and it's great to talk with you. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the game. Heck, it's supposed to be 78 degrees. Whatever happened to December and November in this part of the country?
Hey, it's great for us that are on the fall tour for golf. When you got junior golfers that are out there on the golf course on a Sunday afternoon, we are certainly embracing these warmer temperatures, and it is a little bit crazy. But let's get to it. Let's talk about Oklahoma and TCU. Oklahoma right now 9-2, 7-1 in the Big 12 Conference. TCU 7-4, 4-4 overall. What intrigues you the most about this particular Big 12 matchup? Because there are so many different storylines.
Well, I think I've always respected the TCU program with Gary Patterson as the head coach. He's done an outstanding job. I was at that game in 2005 when OU was trying to break in Rhett Bomar, who was the number one quarterback in the country and was coming in as the next superstar, and they still had Paul Thompson, who had the heart of the Sooner team, and the Sooner team really loved him, and so that kind of tore the offense up a little bit, and TCU came in and beat Oklahoma on that day and really shut them down offensively and handled the Sooners. Out of that game, what's interesting, E, is that OU closed up shop. They restricted, you know, access to their program. They cut out practices that were open and didn't scrimmage anymore in the fall where people could watch or even in the spring because they felt TCU had come down and and been able to get some information. They're not saying there was anything wrong with that. They were blaming themselves because they had practice open, and they just felt that, you know, TCU was kind of able to get the upper hand knowing what Oklahoma was going to do offensively. So from that game, it became, a much more closed-up shop at OU. Now let's get to this point. You know, this has been a tough year for Gary Patterson, but he's done his best job as a coach. When you lose your quarterback, you have such a controversy there. You have a controversy at the beginning of the year. When your two-deep roster is set and you lose 24 guys before the start of the season, when you play 16 freshmen, well, that shows you right there how good of a job that he's done and how efficient that he's been. Oklahoma, on the other hand, it's been a year of near misses. Oklahoma's 9-2. They still have a great thing to salvage. They can still be co-Big 12 champs. And if Kansas State loses, they can win the Big 12 outright. Well, that's pretty good. They still have a chance to get into a BCS bowl game. And if they earn that opportunity, well, that's one of the goals at the beginning of the year. So they still have a lot to shoot for and a lot to play for. They've had three amazing games in the last 3 weeks, and Landry Jones has put on a clinic, and the receivers have put on a clinic, and they've been outstanding, and so it's going to be an interesting matchup. Maybe the best defense in the league with TCU against the offense that right now is the best in the league and has been for the last 4 or 5 weeks with a quarterback that is red hot, that's a first-round NFL draft choice, and that's a pretty good recipe for a good game.
Well, I do want to talk about the quarterback, Landry Jones, because he has had such an incredible stat line. But before we hit on that, James, I mean, you really nailed it. I mean, the Sooners have a lot to lose and on the line if they do not take care of business on Saturday against the Horned Frogs. Talk about just the importance of this win in Fort Worth, and they are facing a very good TCU team, despite, as you were just alluding to, all the different changes and things that program has had to endure this year.
Well, it's an incredibly important game, And, you know, we're hoping that the OU fans and the OU team, you know, doesn't lose perspective of just how important it is. When you have the nail-biter that you had in against Stillwater, and then the week before, the nail-biter the first time you go on the road at West Virginia, and you have those kind of draining emotional games, and even the Baylor game, you know, was a long, drawn-out affair. When you have those kind of games that you're dealing with, you know, you got to hope that the team gets up and is ready to play. Because they have so much to play for, you would assume that they will. That's not really been a problem at OU, the maturity level or anything. They've been able to, they've got up for games when they needed to. This team has practiced the way that they needed to. And so this team has been, you know, from a coaching standpoint for Coach Stoops and his staff, really a gym to coach, because they, you haven't had to worry about extracurricular things, or you haven't had to worry about just the general nature of your team. So I think they'll be ready to play, because there is so much to play for. And heck, you lose, and all of a sudden it changes everything for you. And heck, OU's not a guaranteed a BCS spot anyway, so you better play well to try to impress those voters, and, you know, try to, you know, get better leverage inside the computers. And, you know, if you struggle in the game and you don't play at the level that you can play at, you know, you could drop to the Cotton Bowl, which is not a bad bowl, but it's not the Sugar Bowl. And so there's a lot of things on the line right now for Oklahoma, and that's why I think they'll come out and play pretty well.
James Hale, 1400 KREF, right there in Norman, Oklahoma, also the senior writer with OU Insider. He is providing the helping hand with our preview of Oklahoma TCU. And I think you just brought up a great point, talking about Oklahoma coming off such an emotional overtime win in the Bedlam matchup against Oklahoma State. Have any of the players, you spend so much time over there, James, I mean, have any of the players acknowledged just how mentally and physically of a drain that can be? And sometimes it is tough to get up and to move on to the next opponent.
Well, Andrew brought it up in his press conference that he let us know that it's not as easy as maybe we think. I've always wondered about this, E, because, in my opinion, in college, you only get 12 games a year, and you would think that you've got a whole week to get back up for it, that you would. I mean, you just don't get that many games. I wonder how many players, and I've asked players this before, how much do you miss it when you're not playing, and all of a sudden you realize, whoops, I don't have any more games. You know, you played basketball, so I would imagine at some point after your career, you went, hey, I wish I could still go to practice and make a few jumpers. You guys play such at a high level. I'm always wondering why you guys can't stay up for games or get up for games. So, but it's more the practice issue, and Landry pointed that out. It's not necessarily that they won't be able to play on Saturday, but if they don't have great practices on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, then they probably won't play on Saturday, so it would be too late. Now, some teams are just so good that they still are better, but I don't think Oklahoma looks at them this way. When they play the best, it's when they practice the best. And I hear the practices have been a little inconsistent, that they've been a little up and down. You know, and they just hope that Saturday they'll put it all together, or they have a good workout, leading up to Saturday, and they'll be ready to go. I think that's something we're going to find out when we kick it off, because, you know, I think that they go in with a little bit of a question mark.
What is the biggest concern coming into this game against TCU? You were just talking about offensively how well Oklahoma is executing. Defensively, that has always been TCU's go-to card. So what concerns you the most?
Well, Oklahoma hasn't been able to stop the run the last 3 weeks. Teams have been able to pierce them and run. The quarterback run game, Oklahoma has not been able to stop at all. Part of that against West Virginia and Baylor was alignment decisions. They decided to take out linebackers, put in defensive backs, playing seven defensive backs, and West Virginia and Baylor burned them. Against Oklahoma State, they put a linebacker back in, but Oklahoma just has not been able to stop the quarterback run game. And Cliff Shelf, who's not as good a runner as J.W. Walsh, ran all over the Sooners in the first half. Now, the Sooners made an adjustment, or just more comprehensive of it, and they stopped him in the second half. And in the first half, Texas running is what led Oklahoma State to a number of points in the game. So I think the biggest thing is Boykin is so fast, and he's such a good athlete,
right,
that his quarterback run game ability is what scares Oklahoma. I mean, he's a guy that's as good as anybody else they faced in the quarterback run game outside of Geno Smith, and Geno doesn't really want to run. Geno would rather throw it. Boykin would rather run it, I think. And they have a lot of quarterback run game in there. So now Oklahoma, I think, will play more of a traditional defense, you know, the 4-2-5 or the 4-3. And I think they'll put linebackers on the field, and they will approach TCU that way. But that's the biggest key. Oklahoma, early in the year, was doing better at stopping the run, and they were going with their normal defense. Now they've gone against these spread teams, and TCU does try to spread you out, and they try to run out of it. So Oklahoma has to match up with the receivers, and when they've done that, they haven't been able to stop the run game. So that's the big key in the ball game. If TCU can convert third downs in the run game, if the quarterback run game can come up with the big plays, and Oklahoma can't stop those guys at all, then TCU is going to stay in the ball game. And you know what happens when you get in the fourth quarter and you're in a dogfight, a shootout, or you're in a dogfight, and heck, the other, you know, you let that other team stay in the game and start believing they're going to win. Then you got problems, and it's not that OU is all that much better than TCU anyway. So they've got to guard against giving up gaping runs in the quarterback run game.
You bet, because when you look at the points scored over the last three games, 34, 49, 48, they are just allowing too many points. So they've really got to tighten the screws, so to speak, on the defensive end and take care of business. Quickly, we are running out of time. James Hale is with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. Of course, you can check out all of his work at OUinsider.com. Is that right, James?
That's correct. OUinsider.com and the 247 Network.
Outstanding. Quickly, let's talk a little bit more about Landry Jones. He has had, as I had just said, you know, just incredible stats that he's been able to post. But most importantly, when at times he has made mistakes, it seems like he's shown us the ability to keep his head into the game and not let it take over his mindset. He really is maturing.
He has great mental ability to forget about the bad play and move on. He talks about, from his standpoint, mentally, he's trying not to ride the wave. He keeps an even keel. That's been one of his greatest assets. I mean, he can have a terrible quarter and come back and light it up for three quarters. And when he's lighting it up, he can post numbers in a hurry. Ask West Virginia, ask Oklahoma State, ask Baylor. I mean, he can put some big numbers on the board. You don't become the, what is he right now, the fifth all-time leading passer in NCAA history, first in the Big 12. Yeah, but if you have that kind of talent, unless you have that kind of talent. So that's the big deal. Landry has a great ability to get about the bad play, move on to the next play, and it's served him well throughout his time at OU.
Well, it's going to be a fun game to watch. James Hale has been with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show, and only time for one more quick question. Of course, you've got the Oklahoma City Thunder right there, and I was just wondering, how was were you at the game? I mean, when James Harden came back after being traded to the Rockets on October 28th, what kind of reception did he receive?
He got a great reception early. The only time they booed him is when he got in a fight with Chabit.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden he found out he was on the other team. You know, so I think it kind of shocked him when they booed him at the free throw line. I really did. You know, but James is still really popular here, and you can tell it's still a controversial trade. Are the Thunder really better now that they've had to make the trade? I don't know, but they had to make the trade. They weren't going to sign him, and they got great return on the trade. So I would have made the trade, too. And I think when the season's over, when you're going into the playoffs, I think the Thunder's still going to be a really good basketball team.
Hey, well, Derek Fisher was with the Thunder last year. What do you think about them coming to the Mavs?
Well, I think he's a really good player. He's until he gets to the point, he really can't compete out there, and that wasn't last year. Until he can't guard anybody or he gets to the point that he can't bring the ball up the court. You know, he's a very, very talented guy, good team guy, and a good team leader. I bet she's on the court a lot in the fourth quarter.
Hey, he might be starting on Saturday night against Detroit, so we'll have to see.
Absolutely.
Okay, James, I look forward to being on your show, too, and we'll catch up again real soon. Thank you so much.
All right, Dee, thanks.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment. Texans know all about taking what we're given and turning it into something good. But finding solutions isn't always easy. Sometimes you need the backing of a bank like Pinnacle Bank that understands your unique banking needs. Here when you need us, that's the Texas way. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Visit us online at pinnbanktx.com. Pinnacle Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and our next segment is being powered by our very good friends at Mercer Well Service. That means it is time for our Under the Helmet segment with Jason Peter. We're going to be talking some Big Ten football, and you talk about letting the good times roll. Jason's Cornhuskers have won six straight. They are in the Big Ten Championship on Saturday in Indianapolis, and I can only imagine Husker fans have to be pleased how the team continues to progress as you go along the season. I think you guys have gotten over those two losses at UCLA and at Ohio State.
Yeah, and it was right after the Ohio State game when they really put it on us out there in Columbus, and Bo Pelini came into his post-game presser and did something that he normally doesn't do, and that's look down the road. But he said, look, we got to win out. We got to win the next six. And that's what they did. And you got to tip their hat. You know, wasn't always pretty all the way down to this past Thanksgiving game against Iowa, where it was ugly. And there have been a few games like that down the stretch where they've kind of needed some help, whether it was from the refs or the ball just kind of bounced their way, I think, for most of this year. But whatever the case, they are dealt here with an opportunity to win their first conference championship here at Nebraska since 1999.
And you highlight the game on the road against Iowa, the 13-7 win. And I guess the good news is when you look back on that, because you have the momentum now going into this game against Wisconsin, a lot is on the line. But head coach Bo Pelini, I think about what he talked about after that game. You know, Rex Burkhead is back, and this guy gives you guys a real lift, a boost, and another element. And it's something that you guys desperately need at the end of the season.
He's their leader, and they rally around him, and he's words can't really express what he has meant to this program for the past few years. I mean, this team has struggled at times, and he's kind of been the guy who's always stood up and taken the shots and answered the tough questions, and he's the guy that they look to. And I think Nebraska fans were just thrilled to get through a game with Rex playing and still able to look forward to that next week, where, you know, in previous weeks, the times when he would try to come back, then he'd be sidelined again. He'd get dinged up again, and now it's another game under his belt, and it can't come at a better time, because this team is going to need everything against Wisconsin, because Wisconsin's finally getting healthy. I think they kind of struggled at the beginning of the year. They fired some coaches. They've gone through quarterbacks. Monty Ball had the thing prior to the season starting where he got jumped. There were a lot of distractions going on up at Wisconsin, and it seems as though, even though you kind of look at the last game where they lost, they still, I think, they're a much better football team as compared to when Nebraska first played them.
Husker great Jason Peter is in the house this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. He is providing our Big Ten update on our weekly Under the Helmet segment. Of course, you can check out all of our interviews at our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. Of course, Jason, he and his family, they live up there in Lincoln, and I know you're very dialed into the program. Did you know that the running back, Rex Burkhead, that he would be coming back? I mean, he's been in recovery mode from that knee injury, and he hadn't played in the last four games.
Yeah, he didn't play really in the first half. It was, I guess, a halftime decision where they needed him. They needed something to rally around. And that has been this Nebraska team. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head how many games they've gone into the locker room at halftime and been down, but probably out of those six games since Ohio State, I would say that four of them that they've gone into the locker room, maybe even five, down, and sometimes down as much as two touchdowns, and they rally back. You know, Rex Burkhead, he's going to be a big part of that. You know, the unfortunate thing is, and it certainly, I think,
you know, the old-timers that are watching the game, it doesn't do them any favors because some of them who have some bad tickers, I'm sure it can send the pacemaker through the roof with the way that they're winning some of these games. But, you know, the unfortunate thing is when you do it against a good team, they're not going to let you back out of the hole. And Nebraska's been getting in those holes because they've been turning the ball over. They've been sometimes fundamentally just weak and undisciplined, jumping offside, personal foul calls. You just can't do those things, especially in a game of this magnitude where, you know, the winner of this game obviously is going to go to the Rose Bowl. And that's going to be a big paycheck for whichever school ends up winning.
So, Jason, what does that say about the character of this particular team? Because here, as we get ready to preview the big matchup between Nebraska and Wisconsin, you think back to the month of September. They were down 17 points, and they rallied in that particular game to win in Lincoln 30-27. So it certainly shows that this team does have a lot of heart, and it ain't over until it's over, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, for this team to continually find something in that locker room and come out and be a different team in that second half, I just think Nebraska fans and I'm sure Nebraska coaching staff would like to see them get off to a good start and play a full 60 minutes instead of just playing the second half. You know, you got to look, I think, no farther than the guy who runs the offense in Taylor Martinez, the quarterback. And, you know, I've said to many people that I don't know in my time here or my time since covering the team if there's been a player that's been more critiqued, criticized, whatever you want to call it, than Taylor Martinez. And, you know, you look at, he was just named first team All Big Ten by the coaches. And, you know, I think a lot of people, it's telling a lot of people out here, Nebraska fans are like, really? Really? All Big Ten? First team by the coaches? And usually, you know, fans are thrilled. And I think everybody is excited for him just because of the stuff that he's gone through. But I think people are frustrated because for all of those great comebacks that he helps orchestrate, he's part of the reason why they get down in a hole as well. I mean, you know, there's three turnovers, I think, in the second quarter alone at Iowa. And you can look back at all the games that he plays. He's got a problem with handling the football. And you've got to take care that you can't turn the ball over, especially in a big game like this.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. And since we're talking offense and talking about your quarterback, what has been your assessment of the type of season that he has had? I mean, I don't have his stats in front of me. I was just looking for them. But he did set the Nebraska career record for completions after that win at Iowa. So how do you think he's done this year?
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, I mean, I think for me, everything always gets compared to perfection, and when I say perfection, I'm talking about, you know, the undefeated teams that I played on in the 90s and the national championship team, because I think that's kind of where the bar was set, and I think that's where all of these teams should strive to get to. I mean, every team in America is trying to get to that point, and I just, you know, when you look at Taylor, there is this kind of tale of two halves. And, you know, he has a very nonchalant type of attitude about him. I don't know if he kind of plays with the media or he's just not comfortable in front of the media. Whatever it is, it bites people sometimes the wrong way. And people, then the tolerance level for his kind of errors out there, it's you know, very, very small, that window that people give him went out there. But I think, you know, you can't argue with the results at this point, and they've won football games. And you know what?
Right.
If they win this football game, there's going to be a year that goes up in Memorial Stadium that says Big Ten champs and 2012. And they're not going to say how they won them. They're not going to say how many turnovers Taylor Martinez had. It's not going to say any of that stuff. It's just going to have that year. And I think that's what people will remember down the road. But, you know, all the statistics and that stuff that he's been broken, I mean, it's hard because, you know, it's a different offense that he's playing in now compared to the offenses that are usually out there for Nebraska. When you look back at the history of Nebraska, I mean, he's been now a 3-year starter. He's got another year left, so I can imagine what the records will be when he finally does leave here.
Okay, Jason, so with a win on Saturday against Wisconsin, that means that you would be going to the Rose Bowl, is that right?
Yes.
That would be absolutely huge. Okay, so let's talk about this because I know the listeners, they're just like, give us the meat and potatoes. We want to hear from one of the brilliant minds in all of college football. Give us your analysis as far as the keys against Wisconsin. And the first thing that comes to my mind is you better be ready and prepared to stop the run.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, this team, this Wisconsin team's, I think, much better than when Nebraska played them earlier. When we played them earlier, they looked out of shape. There was no cohesiveness when you look at that offensive line and the offense in particular. And, you know, they've gone through a few different quarterbacks, but I think Monty Ball finally feels good. I think the offensive line finally feels good. And Nebraska, look, I mean, they haven't been the greatest against shutting down the run. And they're going to play this game without Baker Steinkuhler, who's been a 3-year starter at defensive tackle. So, you know, that's where they're going to test Nebraska. They're going to say, you're going to have to stop us running the football. And if Nebraska can't, it's going to be a long, long day. And I think Bo is going to have to dial up some different things. He's going to have to show some different looks. He's going to have to bring some pressure. He's going to have to, you know, bring sometimes 8 guys, 9 guys down in the box. Obviously, it depends on how Wisconsin lines you up, but you know, I think those are the things from a defensive standpoint Nebraska has to concern themselves with. It's just you got to make them one-dimensional. You got to put them in second and long, third and long, because now you can come after the quarterback. And you know, on the flip side, on the offensive side, I think for Nebraska, I think when they're clicking, I don't think there's a better offense in the Big Ten. You know, like I said earlier, they've had problems with turning the ball over. They've waited till the second half to finally get going. And you got to eliminate those mental mistakes. You got to eliminate turning the ball over. And you just have to, you have to do what works. And I think Tim Beck, the offensive coordinator, sometimes he gets away from what's working because he has an idea of how he wants things to go. Sometimes you just run the same play until they can stop it. And if they don't stop it, you just keep running it. And who cares if it doesn't look pretty or there aren't a million people sitting in that, you know, in front of their TV set saying, man, that offensive coordinator is something else. Just win the football game, and then you got yourself a much bigger football game come January 1.
Well, and Jason, you already alluded to the other fact, and one of the keys coming into this game is that Nebraska, I'd love to see them in a game where they get off to a good start, a solid start, and come out of the gates fast.
Yeah.
Where they're not playing from behind, like you were just talking about at halftime, and they're trying to figure out a way in the locker room, you know, what do we got to do to get back in this game?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're like the horse secretariat who just, he's got to kind of be behind, and there's got to be the threat of him losing, and then boom, you just go and, you know, you're breaking records left and right. I don't know what the deal is with this Nebraska team, if that's kind of the way that they have to play, or what is it, you know, that makes them just not get off to a good start. You know, in all my years of playing, I don't know, or watching football, I don't know if I've seen a team like this, especially from a Nebraska standpoint. But yeah, it's hard to tell, you know, and I don't think anybody has an answer for why they can't come out and just execute from the beginning. I think it's only the players kind of know why. I don't know if it has to do with play calling. I don't know if it's comes down to, you know, just a personality type thing. But you know, you just can't. You go to Vegas long enough, one of these times you're going to come home and you're going to lose. And you know, with Nebraska, every time that they go into the locker room at halftime, they're rolling the dice. And you know, you just don't know if you're going to get enough luck or if you're going to get enough breaks to end up pulling it off in the end.
Jason Peter has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. His Nebraska Huskers 10-2, 7-1 in Big Ten play, face Wisconsin, who are 7-5 and 4-4 in the Big Ten Championship. Really quick, we do have to share with the listeners, Jason, you have a big excursion coming up. My husband and son, the big hunting trip for Cabela's. Are you locked and loaded and ready to go?
Yeah, I'm going to be borrowing some gear because I don't have too many shotguns. That would be none. And the camouflage, I don't have any of that. So everything that that I'll be wearing or using that day will be compliments of Cabela's, who, you know, certainly I'm sure they're going to roll out the red carpet here. And I just hope that I can bring kind of a little step stool or something to sit on, because my back and legs, knees, I don't know how much standing they can take.
Oh, bless
you. I've never been hunting before, so I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, it's going to be a great time. And I would love to be sitting in that duck blind listening to you and Steve and kind of talk about, you know, a Sooner and a Husker in the duck blind. That can be a lot of fun. Reliving those memories.
It's better than having a Husker and a Buffalo in the tent out somewhere. Only one of us might come back.
Well, send our best to Sarah. Listen, have a lot of fun, Jason, and we'll talk to you here next week, okay?
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead this weekend on a very special The Big E Sports Show. Stay close.